morning, everybody. I am grateful to Reverend Dr. Jonathan Walton for the invitation and for the chance to be in this historic community of worship and service this morning. My question today is, where is our citizenship? This question is driven by the four texts that are in the lectionary for today, all of which I insisted be read. Genesis 15, Psalm 27, Philippians 3:20 to 4:1, and Luke 9, 28 through 36, for the second Sunday in Lent. We live in a time in which many report that they do not feel at home in their own country. Indeed, many say that they do not recognize what their country has become. I'm speaking of this country. This might be hard enough if it were only one-sided. For example, if, let's call them liberals, felt that the country had been snatched away from them by conservatives, and meanwhile the conservatives were riding high and feeling very much at home, at least half of America would be happy. But the evidence is that the conservatives are not feeling comfortable either. They too report that they do not feel at home in their own country. Social conservatives do not feel at home in a country with legalized abortion. Many traditional political conservatives do not feel at home in a country where GOP voters prefer Donald Trump. Independents and moderates do not feel at home in a country so desperately polarized and filled with political hatred. Immigrants, documented and undocumented, definitely do not feel at home in a country in which they are being targeted relentlessly by government policy and rhetoric. Muslims do not feel at home in a country in which a travel ban, clearly motivated by anti-Muslim bias, is now government policy with Supreme Court approval. And today, of course, we gather in the shadow of the massacres in New Zealand. Many women do not feel at home in a country with Donald Trump as president. Many men do not feel at home in a country where the old rules that they thought governed male-female interaction are changing. Many LGBTQ people do not feel at home in a country where their legal rights and human dignity are always under negotiation. And many straight people do not feel at home in a country where that negotiation is happening either. Many conservative Catholics do not feel at home in a church led by Pope Francis. Many liberal Catholics did not feel at home in a church led by Pope Benedict. And both men reside at the Vatican, where I wonder if either one of them feels very much at home. As an Atlantan, I personally cannot feel at home in a society where the Boston Red Sox, the New England Patriots, always win. In the airport yesterday, I saw a man with a t-shirt that had the Super Bowl score from a few years ago on the front of his shirt, 28-3 Atlanta. And that was in the Atlanta airport he wore that. And on the back it said 34-28. I did not harm him. I'm very proud of myself. Our text this morning, all in one way or another, speak to the question of home and homelessness. Citizenship in exile. So that's where we'll live this morning. Genesis 15 finds Abram in the land that God has promised, but without the heirs that God has promised. Abram fears not that his descendants shall have no home, but that he will have no descendants at all, therefore no memory that he ever existed. God assures Abram that he will indeed have descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky, that they will for a time be aliens in a land that is not theirs, that they will suffer greatly there, but that one day they shall find their home, their long promised home in the promised land. Abram will have to live by faith in these promises, and in this passage he does, and it is reckoned to him as righteousness in that famous phrase. Of course, in other passages he doesn't. In Philippians 3:17 through 4:1, The Apostle Paul exhorts his young Christian community to stand apart from their neighbors in their way of life, but also in their very sense of what is home, their sense of citizenship, and that language is used. Our citizenship, he says, is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage, Paul does not offer his readers any earthly sense of home. Challenging us, I think, as well, he says, home is in heaven. Heaven will come to earth in Jesus in the future as in the recent past. Until then, we wait, we stand firm, we live differently from those who believe that their home is here. In Luke 9, Jesus takes his inner three up on the mountain to pray, and quite unexpectedly, heaven comes to earth, here represented by Moses and Elijah. Of course, the Apostle Peter wants to build some tents to make Moses and Elijah feel at home. But the next line simply dismisses his idea with a line about Peter not knowing what he was talking about. It's a great line. There will be no home for Moses and Elijah here. And their visit is really to prepare Jesus for what the text says is his exodus from Jerusalem on a cross. And then Jerusalem itself, once understood to be the home of God in the temple, for Jesus would only be his point of departure. There would be no home there for Jesus. In this assembly of texts, Psalm 27 speaks to me acutely. It looks like one of those crisis psalms. David speaks vividly of evildoers who want to destroy him. We're not talking about angry conversation here. I think we're talking about people who want David dead. David asks and expresses trust that the God who has protected him before will do it again. Then he can return home. He says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." This sounds like a temple psalm, a Jerusalem psalm, so home would be in the temple, home would be in Jerusalem, but then it takes an unexpected turn. David writes, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock." These are not geographical references. They are promises of divine protection. And then, concluding, he says, "I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take courage. Wait for the Lord." So, friends, where is our citizenship? Where is it? Where is our home? Genesis 15 envisions an ancient Israelite citizenship in a specific plot of promised land. You might have heard of it. But only after hundreds of years of suffering in a strange land, a land of slavery, and only before hundreds of years of exile in Babylon and beyond, briefly broken by a return, followed by centuries more of exile all over the world, the land promised and cherished and home, but eventually Israel's faith did not ultimately depend on residence in the land, that promised land, or it could not have survived millennia of exile. And the return of many Jewish people to that land has not resolved issues of home for many. Philippians 4 says, "Home is in heaven." While here, followers of Christ are a people waiting. So, for Philippians, if there is home here, it is the tentative home, the provisional home of community, of church, a community in exile, but yet in a kind of home. Many Christians have found great comfort in the hope of heaven, but that seems to have faded today, and in the joys of church community. Today, both types of home and hopes of home are weakening. Luke 9 shows that for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, home is not here. not even in a place of holy encounter and apparition. Many of us find that we want to mark a spot of dramatic encounter with God and make a shrine out of it. I know I have. There are holy places in my memory that I remember encountering God. You know, I don't know if you have this here, but in Georgia, oddly enough, where people are killed, sometimes their families put up little markers as a kind of a shrine. Does that happen here? It says, the last earthly spot for my loved one. Others have shrines of memory for when they felt that God showed up. But the Transfiguration story suggests that even the holiest places of encounter on this earth are not home. What matters is the encounter, not the place. Psalm 27, I think, maybe teaches that home is where God shows up. Home is where God's beauty and care is experienced. Home, more deeply, is where God's mercy is encountered, and that's what I want to home in on. Home is any place where God acts to save. In a world filled with danger and death, of harshness and brutality, home is where mercy comes. Everyone seems to want to feel at home, and we already have seen how very many do not feel at home right now in this troubled land and elsewhere. American politics and world politics are both deeply affected and distorted by the cross currents created by a sense of home and homelessness, home and invasion of home. These texts remind us that there is not an absolutized vision of a this worldly home in the Bible. The closest thing to it is in the Hebrew Bible's land promises, but these turn out to be more complex than we might expect. Displacement, transit, exile, diaspora, homelessness, these realities are everywhere in Scripture and everywhere in our world today. I wonder if any of us in this room feel some sense of that, diaspora, homelessness, or exile today. It probably is the case right now that there are more people on the way, more people between homes, more people who don't feel quite at home than there are those who feel well and truly settled. And given the attitude of so many well and truly settled people toward those who are on the way, being at home or believing oneself to be at home may be spiritually and morally dangerous. Maybe we are healthier when we don't feel at home. For Paul, for David, for Jesus, home seems to be wherever God is encountered in love and in mercy. And that can happen anywhere, especially where we most need it, and perhaps where we most offer it. This is not a council of indifference to the problems of this nation or any other nation. It is, however, a call away from absolutizing any particular earthly home. When we stop absolutizing real estate, we open ourselves to grace. We make ourselves more ready to offer peace and justice and mercy and hospitality any and everywhere. Maybe a loosening of our loyalty to particular home places can make us more hospitable to those who are travelers on the journey. Maybe the intersection of mercy and grace among those at that intersection, maybe that's where God is to be found. Maybe that's home.